We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. Well, if you've ever listened to Handel's Messiah in its entirety, you'll recognize this as the opening strains of that classic piece of music. Of course, most people have only heard the Alleluia chorus, and they've heard it completely out of context. It is played as a bit, sometimes, of comedy. After the most trivial things, of course, it is intended to herald the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 15th of May. We're going to be talking about Handel's Messiah, hearing a little bit of it, talking about its message and its theology. And you can join us. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about Handel's Messiah, Dr. Joseph Hurl. He's Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Dr. Hurl, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
If someone was only familiar, as many people are, only familiar with the Alleluia chorus of Handel's Messiah, what are they missing?
Oh, they know all about God's majesty and glory, but they're missing the whole story of salvation. How the scriptures foretold a promised Messiah, how God put on human flesh and was born of a virgin, how he suffered and died on a cross for our sins, how he rose from the dead, assuring us that we too will rise again at the last day. That's the real story of Messiah.
Give us a brief biography of the man Handel, who constructed this piece musically.
He was born Georg Friedrich Handel, and later in life he became a British citizen and used the English form George Frederick Handel. He wasn't always going to be a composer. He entered university to study law, but within a year he dropped out, became a church organist, went to Hamburg to play violin in the opera house, composed his first opera when he was 19, and it was a huge success. Within a few years, he was one of the best-known opera composers in Europe, eventually moved to England, and that's an interesting story.
And let's talk briefly, before we hear some of it, about the piece itself. What's the background of the piece that we call the Messiah? I'm astonished to hear that it was written in 3 weeks.
Yes, he worked very quickly. That was his normal style of working. It's the piece, the whole work lasts pretty close to 2.5 hours. But he worked very fast, and he also rewrote parts of what he'd previously written for other occasions and incorporated them into the Messiah. In the Messiah itself was produced in 1741. The Viceroy of Ireland invited Handel to Dublin to produce a concert for charity. And Handel had spent time that previous summer working on Messiah, finished it at the beginning of September, and so he brought it along with him.
The actual text that we hear sung doesn't come from Handel himself, but from someone else. Tell us about that.
His name is Charles Jennens. He was an Englishman whose family wealth allowed him to spend time doing things like writing texts for oratorios. We're not quite sure how he came about to choose the particular texts he did, but it is clear that his purpose was to put together the texts in the Bible that showed Jesus to be the promised Messiah, and to once that is done, to bring those together and show how they point to the Savior of the world and what that means for each one of us.
The first part of Handel's Messiah that we're going to hear and talk about, surely he hath borne our griefs. Give us a brief introduction, Dr. Hurl.
Okay, this is from part two of Messiah. Messiah is divided into three parts. The first part dealing with his the prophecies and birth, the second part dealing with his death and resurrection, and the third part dealing with what it means to us. This is a chorus from the beginning of part two, and here it's obvious that Handel didn't need costume, staging, or scenery to produce good drama. He does it with the music. It begins with this driving, dotted rhythm in the orchestra. Yum ba dum 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 ba dum. And you're just waiting for something to happen. It finally does when the chorus enters, surely, and then, just in case there's any doubt, repeats it. Surely he hath borne our griefs. And on griefs, that word, Handel uses an anguished, diminished seventh chord. He does it again when the phrase repeats. Then you have a softer and slower section with some wonderful word painting on words like wounded and unexpected harmonies on the word bruised, which they pronounce bruised. You have some unusual leaps in the lower voices to emphasize the word our, and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Christ didn't die for some anonymous world, but for us, for you and me. Then at the end you have the section, the chastisement of our peace. That brings a soothing major chord on the word peace.
Dr. Hurl, where do we find the biblical text of what we just heard? Surely he has borne our griefs.
That is from the wonderful messianic chapter in Isaiah, one of the many, Isaiah 53. The next chorus is also from Isaiah 53, and that's interesting because it steps back from all the emotion and it sets the text, and with his stripes we are healed dispassionately, almost clinically. Handel's device for that is a fugue with voices entering one at a time with the same musical motive or subject. Here, Handel emphasizes the word stripes with a large, unusual leap downward. And with his stripes we are healed.
Before we go to this break, and we'll hear with his stripes we are healed on the other side of the break, Dr. Hurl, what's come through so far in our conversation is the ability of this, in the hands of a talented master, for music to be an unusually good vehicle for the Word of God, especially these significant passages of Scripture. With about a minute before we take our break, your thoughts on that?
Every composer who's worth his or her salt has done exactly that, to bring the text out with the music. It's not really about the music. It's about pointing to what's behind the music. And in this case, it's the text. And with a religious text, it's pointing to God behind that text. There are so many examples throughout that, throughout music of that, and a great many in Messiah, and we'll hear some of those today.
We're talking with Dr. Joseph Hurl, Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska, listening to sections of Handel's Messiah during this Easter season. It is Friday afternoon, May the 15th. We are coming to you live. We invite your questions and comments. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're back in Isaiah, the great suffering servant's passage in Handel's Messiah. By his stripes we are healed. A little bit later, we'll also hear All Like Sheep Have Gone Astray and Why Do the Nations So Furiously Rage? And of course, we'll end our study of Handel's Messiah. We couldn't do any other than with the Hallelujah Chorus. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Liberal churches interpret the Book of Amos as a manifesto for social justice, political activism, and the economic redistribution of wealth. But does the Book of Amos teach liberation theology, or does it proclaim God's law and gospel in Jesus Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is the new Concordia Commentary on Amos by Dr. Reed Lessing. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. The Concordia Commentary on Amos.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, May the 15th, we're walking through the high points. There are so many. Of Handel's Messiah, Dr. Joseph Hurl is our guest. He's Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Before the break, we heard "Surely He Hath Borne Our Griefs" from the famous passage in the prophet Isaiah. This one, introed before the break, "And with his stripes we are healed."
And with his stripes.
Dr. Hurl, what strikes me in this is the repetition of this word. You said it was approached dispassionately. What did you mean by that?
In the previous movement, you have a lot of emotion. But in this one, well, perhaps there is emotion too, but these individual lines of music entering one voice after another, at the time that Handel was writing, people considered this an academic sort of writing and not so much emotional.
Let's talk about the next piece, a bit of Latin. We'll hear just a piece of it here. Would you set it up for us, please?
Yes. It's actually Italian, and after this chorus, we have the text, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all," and that's still from Isaiah 53. Now, if you were a composer, what sort of mood would you create for those words?
A somber one, "All we like sheep have gone astray."
I would too, but it's probably a good thing neither one of us is Handel, because what Handel does is interesting. A month or two earlier, he had written a duet cantata in Italian for the Sisters of King George, and in it, the singers declared that they will never again allow blind love or beauty to trap them, and the last movement sounds like this.
So, Dr. Hurl, what is he taking from this?
Well, Handel took this music, he adapted it to fit new words, and he set it for four-part chorus. What's amazing is how perfectly it fits. Here we are, like the prodigal son, wasting our time in frivolous pursuits, going astray like lost sheep, and Handel sets this text to perfectly frivolous music. On the words, "have gone astray," Handel retains that duet texture that you just heard, and we hear the two voices moving apart from each other, occasionally in odd harmonic directions, and that underscores the idea of going astray. All through that, the instrumental bass is in running eighth notes that never stop, because after all, the ways of the world keep us mighty busy. Then we get to the words, "We have turned everyone to his own way." Can you guess how he sets the word "turned"? It's just begging for word painting, and Handel can't resist. "We have turned." Isn't that great? Except the singing, perhaps. That's the music we just heard in the duet cantata, only they sang it a whole lot better than I did. So, here we are. We play and play all night and day, and eventually our dissolute life lands us right in the gutter. It's then that Handel gives us the gospel. Okay, he's convicted us of our sin, and now comes the gospel. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And he sets that part to newly composed music. Now, what sort of music does he set for that? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Let's find out.
We'll be right back.
We're listening to the music and the message of Handel's Messiah during this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Joseph Hurl is our guest, associate professor of music at Concordia University in Nebraska. When we come back, we'll hear The Lord Gave the Word. Coming up here on the 30th of June, a big day for us at Lutheran Public Radio, the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues, Etc. to the airwaves, and we want to celebrate with our listeners. That means we're inviting all of our listeners, whoever can come, to join us at 4 o'clock, beginning at 4 o'clock, Tuesday, June the 30th, here at LPR Studios in Collinsville, Illinois. We need you to RSVP, though. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org, Craig at issuesetc.org. Tuesday, June the 30th at 4 o'clock here at LPR Studios in Collinsville, Illinois.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
A racist graveyard in Georgia. Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the excellent book Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots.
I had a very sobering experience while speaking at a church in Georgia. I spoke on the topic of the origin of races. Actually, I think it was a real eye-opener for many people there. While I was there, I asked about the graveyard beside the church, and I was told that many black slaves were buried there. You know, it was rather easy to see their graves because they were marked only with stones. Did you know slaves weren't allowed to have monuments like their masters? I don't know, it's hard to understand how such racism permeated a country that's probably been the greatest Christian nation on earth. So my talk explained that there's only one race biologically, there's only one skin color, with shades of brown. Evolutionary ideas about races have been used to justify all sorts of prejudice, but the Bible teaches the correct history about human origins, and it even has answers to problems like racism. After my lecture, many people thanked me for putting them on the right path about the race issue from God's Word.
As we close out the week, we encourage you to get Ken Ham's 48-page booklet on the biblical explanation on the origin of all the different people groups. It's such an excellent booklet, we want to send 10 of them to you to pass out to family and friends. It's for your donation of any size. Call toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS. Or on the web at answersoffer.org.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. A half hour more talking about Handel's Messiah, its music, and especially its message. Dr. Joseph Hurl is our guest, Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Take us into this next piece, Dr. Hurl. The Lord gave the word. What happens next in the narrative, and how does Handel deliver it to his hearers?
We're going to fast forward to the day of Pentecost, and hear that text is represented not by something from Acts, but by a passage from Psalm 68. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of the preachers. Now, when you listen to this, listen for the simplicity and directness of God's word as compared with the busyness of the preachers as they run excitedly around.
Dr. Hurl, the next place that Handel takes us is to Psalm 2, the famous words, "Why do the nations so furiously rage together?" What does he say here?
That is an inspired choice for this part of Messiah, because that is how the world reacts to the preaching of the gospel at Pentecost. Psalm 2 says, "The nations furiously rage together. The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Let's hear how Handel depicts that.
Rise up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed.
Dr. Hurl, the next thing we will hear is, of course, the most famous of, perhaps one of the most famous lines in all of Western history, but the most famous part of Handel's Messiah, the Alleluia Chorus. Bring us into that, if you would.
Okay, the world reacts to the preaching of the gospel with displeasure, but, you know, they can't sustain it, and God wins in the end. As the book of Revelation tells us, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.
We have a few minutes here before the break, Dr. Hurld. Please, how was this initially received, Handel's Messiah, his message and his music? And I understand that when it was performed later in London, it received a particularly positive reception from King George. Tell us about that.
Oh, sure. Well, at its first performance in Dublin, the audience went wild with excitement. The next year in London, actually, the performance had mixed reviews from the public. And here's the problem. Some people found it blasphemous because texts from sacred scripture were being sung in a theater. After all, every word of Messiah is from the Bible. So this was a problem. King George, though, he seems to have been impressed because, as the story goes, he was so moved that he rose to his feet during the Hallelujah chorus, and so audiences have done that ever since. Now, honestly, we're not sure if the story's true or not. King George may have been so moved that he stood up, or it could be that he stood up because he had to go to the bathroom. We don't know. But for some reason or another, he stood up, and everybody stood up with him.
When we come back from the break, we're going to conclude our study of Handel's Messiah, listening to and discussing those great words from the Old Testament prophet Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. After all, it is the Easter season that brings Handel's Messiah back around for us every year and that has preserved this great piece of music and its message for us. I often say that those who write the church's music are the most enduring preachers in Christian history. They continue to preach to generation after generation long after they are gone. When we come back, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Our guest, Dr. Joseph Hurl, Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. It's Friday afternoon, May the 15th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is from the Old Testament, from which much of Handel's Messiah is drawn. This, the prophet Amos, the Concordia Commentary on Amos by Dr. Reed Lessing. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May by going to our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on the homepage, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about the Concordia Commentary on Amos. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I know that my Redeemer liveth from Handel's Messiah after this.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
LCMS Inc. canceled this. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes. I wish we had more time, not only to hear, but to contemplate the message of Handel's Messiah, especially during this Easter season. Our guest, Dr. Joseph Hurl, Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. The last piece that we're going to hear is drawn from the book of Job, the famous words that are often read during the Easter season or at a funeral. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Introduce this last and longest piece here to us, if you would.
So far, we've heard the story of Jesus' birth and his death and resurrection and ascension, ending with the Hallelujah chorus. But, you know, if that's all there is to the story, we don't get it. Because the question is, what does all this mean for us? And in the third part of Messiah, that's what Handel deals with. What does all this mean for you and for me? And he begins it with this wonderful aria for soprano, whose text is drawn from the book of Job. You remember Job. He was a very godly man, but Satan managed to get God to allow him, that is Satan, to tempt Job, to test him, to see whether he would turn from God. And so Job lost his wealth, his family, his health. And what was his reaction? Well, he certainly wasn't pleased. He was rather annoyed at all of that. But in the end, he still managed to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And that's the text of this aria, and Handel adds a commentary from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians, on the end of it, saying, For now is Christ risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep.
Dr. Hurl, you chose these stunning recordings. Tell us a little bit about the artists briefly, and then your final thoughts on Handel's Messiah.
This is a 1984 recording by the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Christopher Hogwood. I like it because it uses original performing forces, a relatively small choir and authentic instruments, and also because it's musically vital and exciting. As far as the Messiah in general, it's great music, to be sure, but it's even greater in that it tells us the story of how God took it upon himself to come to earth as a human being, to live, to suffer and die for our sins, to be raised from the dead, assuring us that we too will rise from the dead one day and live with him forever.
Dr. Joseph Hurl is Associate Professor of Music at Concordia University, Nebraska. Thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to our study in this hour of Handel's Messiah, where else are you going to hear this? Not only the music, anyone can do music appreciation, but the message of this old piece of music still vital today. Please consider supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift. You can donate online this weekend, our website address, issuesetc.org. You can also make a contribution by check. Just make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You see, the Christian has his mind, his heart set upon the message, the word. And yes, music is a marvelous gift of God, a vehicle for bringing that word to us and planting it in our ears, but it is never mere musical appreciation. It must always be about the word. We're not simply moved by the strains and the notes. Those move us, certainly they do. But that's nothing more than our natural reaction to this good gift of music. What is the real power? Not the music, but the message. The message of Christ and Him crucified for us sinners. And when it is wed to beautiful and moving music, all the better. But we never forget that what God uses to speak faith into our hearts, to grant us the forgiveness of sins, to renew us and regenerate us, to give us the certainty of eternal life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ at the cross for us, is His eternal and powerful word. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.